Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Hey, hey, y'all. Your girl, Lauren, here. And on this week's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast, we are talking about something y'all have been asking me for years now, and that is more details on my postpartum surgery. If you are not aware, I had a tummy tuck. I called it diastasis recti repair for a while on my page because that's what my insurance covered. I'll also get into how I got my insurance part of it, y'all. But anyways, on this week's episode, I actually dive into a conversation with Dr. Gabe, a renowned plastic surgeon out in Beverly Hills, about all the things that you need to know. You're basically about to get a free consultation, okay, on everything you might want to know if you were thinking about having some sort of postpartum surgery, and specifically belly surgery, okay? Like, you can have breast augmentation, other things like that, but we mainly get into the tummy tuck surgery. That's the focus of this one. Before we dive in, like, I'll just share a little bit about my journey. So it's interesting. Okay. When I decided to do this episode on tummy tucks, I reached out to like four different creators. I won't even say, not going to say who they are, but it was like impossible to find people that wanted to cop to the fact that they had surgery. Like, I knew they did. I knew they did. And I was like, hey, I know you did this. Like, do you want to hop on with me and just talk about, like, share resources or like talk about our experience? Like, well, I don't want to share that publicly. I'm like, okay, girl, you saying you just exercise and drank water? Bye. Psh. Anyway, and then I had one person that was saying that they would say that they had diastasis recti repair, but they didn't want to say the tummy tuck part because the tummy tuck was just like, they had to get that because the DR repair, which the surgeon that I'm about to talk to, Dr. Gabe, can get into this, but diastasis recti is like healing your abdominal wall on the inside, and tummy tucks takes away skin and fat. So like, if you were super, super skinny and like maybe had like a little bit of abscess separation, but like your tummy looked like you didn't even have kids, that would be someone that just gets DR repair. If you have skin at all and that skin's gone, they got a tummy tuck because that's what that procedure is called. So I'm just calling it what it is and being fully transparent. Now for me, for a while, I will say I was guilty of this. I was calling it diastasis recti repair surgery, but like, to my defense, your girl got her insurance to cover a big portion of her surgery for the tummy tuck. So I just didn't want to get recalled in some way, but like everything I did was legit. So for those of you who are wondering, before I even get into this, like whether or not you are happy with your postpartum bod or accepting the new marks of pregnancy, I honestly think that it's beautiful. I really do think the postpartum body and what our bodies are able to do are miracle workers. I don't think I would have gotten surgery had it not been that my girls didn't like jack me up so bad. I know this sounds bad, but it's the truth. My girls jacked me up so bad that my general surgeon in OBGYN was like, you need to get this taken care of because it's like, you can't function in life with this. So I had an umbilical cord hernia. That's like that was the domino that knocked down the rest of the dominoes for me to get to a tummy tuck. So I had this hernia. I had had it since I was pregnant, I think, because real talk, I'd be like super pregnant and there's like a little bump around my belly button, like almost like the size of a foot, a baby foot. And we just all thought it was the baby's foot. We thought it was Twin B's foot, potentially, like, oh, look at the foot, look at the foot. Come to realize after that it was not the foot. It was literally a hernia that had been growing when I was pregnant. And that foot stayed and turned into a big golf ball then the size of my fist well after pregnancy. And because if you have been listening for a while, you know my girls broke my pelvic bone. So since they broke my pelvic bone, I was not really doing, I was doing diastasis recti, like a physical therapy after, but like I was so weak that it just, I did a whole year. I was consistent and it just, your girl, it wasn't doing anything. And it was definitely not going to do anything for the hernia. So once my OB was like, you need to get this hernia removed, I went to a general surgeon, like, yes, we can do it. Like, insurance will cover it. I was like, hold up. Can I just get a plastic surgeon? Like since we already going under, maybe you could just like hook me up, you know what I mean? And get rid of all the skin and a little bit of the fat and get like a full tummy tuck, which is what I did. And I will say it was probably, now that I'm past it and recovered, like one of the best decisions I've done for myself ever. I do not regret it at all. Literally, your girl can't tell you, I was Aaliyah like every day after my tummy tuck. I was like, you couldn't tell me nothing about covering up my belly. Like Britney Spears, circa 2000, whatever, like your girl's belly had never been out that much since I was probably like a baby. Okay. Like even after my first, I had never felt so confident in like my physique. And not to say that I needed the tummy tuck to do that, but it came from a place of just like, A, it was an opportunity like that presented itself where I was like, yes. B, it was like doing work on myself where I realized being a little selfish was okay. And C, also still really loving my body like postpartum. If you're looking to get postpartum surgery to make you feel happy about yourself, trust sis, it's not going to do it. Like you have to be coming from a place of already loving yourself and like maybe wanting to get back to what you were or doing something that's like just kind of bothering you, but it's not trying to fix everything that you, if you're truly unhappy or truly don't love yourself. Right. So I think the place I was in, it just kind of just made me like, boom, bam, like who dis knew me? But if I didn't do it, like, I mean, yeah, my belly probably wouldn't be out all over the place, but I would be okay. Right. So all to say, this is a very long-winded introduction, y'all, but I wanted to give you my story before we head into this conversation with Dr. Gabe, where he really talks like, I ask every question that you will need to ask in a consultation, from pricing to how they do this stuff. Like, so for instance, I'm backtracking again, but for insurance purposes, my surgeon literally had a stopwatch, right? So like when they took out the hernia, when they finished the DR, boom, stopwatch. Now they're charging me for the tummy tuck, right? So if that's something that you're looking to potentially do, if you have an umbilical cord hernia, talk to your surgeon about, like, make sure these are things you bring up in your consultation. We talk about recovery. Like this is a two-part episode. We go heavy, heavy into recovery and all the things that I use to like make my scar look the way it does. If you're watching on YouTube, I will throw up before and afters of what my belly looked like before, what my scar looks like now, what my tummy looks like after. So definitely follow along on Instagram if you're looking for visuals of this conversation and on YouTube. But yeah, you're going to learn a lot. It's something that every person is different and like whatever you have going on or whatever your goals or what you want to go through, like you, it's interesting because people be lying. Okay. People in these streets be lying. People just say, oh no, I'm just exercising, got water. Oh, I just got a little diastasis. Right. No, like sometimes you might have a picture of a celebrity or somebody thinking they got something done and that might not be the case. So just really being knowledgeable and finding a surgeon that's knowledgeable, that's not going to surprise you, knows what they're doing, is certified. And then go from there. But I hope you all learn a lot in this episode. I will be debriefing it after and then we'll go into part two. But yeah, hope you enjoy. Welcome everyone to That Twin Mama Podcast. I am so excited about our guest today. If you all have been following me for a while, you know I'm no stranger to plastic surgery. I ended up having a really bad umbilical cord hernia where it was medically necessary for me to get that taken out, along with my diastasis recti repair. So I just opted to get a plastic surgeon and get a full tummy tuck when I had that surgery. And it was the best decision I've ever made. I talk a lot more about my personal experience, but today we have the GOAT. I could not have a better guest to talk about all things belly procedures, all things tummy tucks, all things plastic surgery, Dr. Zubin Gabe. He is a board certified plastic surgeon. He is known for his reconstructive surgeon and specializes in the art of aesthetic of plastic surgery. We found Dr. Gabe actually because there was a YouTube video on plastic, which is a YouTube channel documenting how a tummy tuck that he performed on a fellow twin mama out in California. Beautiful work. Dr. Bay is the medical director of Gabe Plastic Surgery in Beverly Hills, California. Gabe's vibrant personality and caring demeanor make him an ideal plastic surgeon from people of all ages and walks of life. With an extensive education in medicine, art, and architecture, Dr. Gabe's passion and dedication to artistic profession is evident through his unparalleled surgical skill, acknowledged by thousands, y'all, thousands of satisfied patients. I've went through the reviews and they are on point. Dr. Gabay feels that taking care of patients is a privilege and trust of responsibility that has been his driving force in shaping Gabay Plastic Surgery's medical philosophy. And because of his unique commitment, Dr. Gabay's patients praise him for his professional integrity and honest recommendations that produce exceptional results. Welcome, Dr. Gabay. Thank you for being here.
Wow. You really know how to flatter a guy. Thank you. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad we're able to talk.
We did our research and we are so excited to have you. Okay. So let's just get into it. How did you become so passionate about cosmetic surgery? Why did you decide to do what you do?
You know, it's been a long road and obviously a lot of things went into it. So my dad is an architect out here in Beverly Hills, trained in Florence. And I grew up with this idea of art and architecture, and I was really into that world. And fortunately, he made me realize it's a great art, not the best profession. Like any good immigrant boy, I became a doctor obviously, right? And I did well in science. I did well in medicine. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But there was always that artistic pull that just stayed in me. And as time went on, I realized plastic surgery is it. It's the greatest combination of all that stuff. And, you know, I kind of joke around now that my dad and I do the same thing. We just use different materials.
And, right.
That's where I am. It's the best profession because definitely there is the artistry. There's the creativity. Yes. And honestly, the thing that I love about it is also just sort of the psychology of it, dealing with people's lives and emotions. And there's a lot of really heavy stuff that we deal with, triggering stuff, all that stuff. And it's such a beautiful combination and really beautiful representation of humanity. So I love it. I love what I do and I'm very lucky for it.
It's so interesting how you say that, because yes, it's an art. Not all plastic surgeons are made equally, y'all. Like, let me tell you, I've seen some people with some botched surgery. So like the love of it, the artistry of it, but then also the compassion for people. Like it was very scary for me to come into my consultation just because you're like trusting someone literally with your life and how you're going to look after. And so to be able to articulate your profession and recommendations in a language that your normal person can understand and like trust you with is just such a skill. So thank you so much for being here.
And absolutely,
you are definitely in the right profession. Okay. So I want to clarify a couple of things because I feel like in plastic surgery, we're not always speaking the same language. People like throw around tummy tuck or lipo and not necessarily understanding what exactly that procedure entails. So let's just start with like the basic. Let's just talk about what is a tummy tuck and we'll go through each of them. But like, let's start there. What is a tummy tuck? What happens during that procedure?
I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer that question because
you're fine. No, I love
it. The best way of understanding what the procedures are is to first understand what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. What is the anatomy? What are the normal changes of pregnancy, of weight fluctuation, of all that stuff? Because the more you understand sort of the root of it, then the operations are totally easy to understand. Okay, so
I love it.
I'm going to take a step back.
Yes.
So when I look at the abdomen, the torso anatomically, look at it from the outside in. Okay, so on the outside is the skin. And, you know, after change, you know, pregnancy changes, it can stretch out the skin, as you very well know.
Yes, it can.
And some people have a little bit of loose skin. Some people have a lot of loose skin. And some people literally look like they're wearing an apron. Okay, so it can vary. The skin can change in terms of its thickness. The skin can tear and create stretch marks. Yes. So a stretch mark is literally torn skin on the inside. Okay, so that is the skin. And certainly we can talk about things of what we can do to prevent loose skin later on.
Right.
There's a little bit there. So that's the skin on the outside. That's the gift wrapping. Underneath your skin is the fat. And, with pregnancy changes, some people will gain fat, some people will lose fat. And you certainly want to consider the volume of fat you have when doing one of these procedures, because if you just sort of pull and tighten stuff, it's not going to make a huge difference if there's still a lot of fat underneath there and it's hiding what's going on. Okay. So another thing for all of us to keep in mind. Underneath the fat are your muscles, most notably those two six-pack muscles, what we call the rectus abdominis muscles. Those muscles are normally, or you're mostly born with, two perfectly vertical up and down muscles, which your kids very kindly completely separate from each other.
Yes, of course.
And they create what is called a rectus diastasis. And, you know, this is a touchy point for me, because so many people talk about rectus diastasis like it's some sort of disease or something. Oh my God, you have rectus diastasis. And it makes me crazy, because you know what you got? You got two separated muscles, which every single mom on the face of this earth who has ever lived has. Okay. Some people have a really big rectus. Some people have a tiny rectus. But the bottom line is those two vertical muscles separate. And because they separate, your abdomen can bulge as a result of having had two, in your case, or three beautiful children, the light of your life. Okay.
Yeah.
Worth a little muscle separation. And, and again, we deal with that during the procedures we do. Finally, underneath your muscles are your organs, your intestines, and some more fat. So that's what we're thinking about when we talk about these procedures. Okay. So the next step absolutely is to talk about what are the procedures, technically, what are they called? And again, if you know what you have, if you are able to look at yourself and say, okay, I've got loose skin, I've got fat, I've got muscle situations, you can literally dial in what procedure you want based on those physical facts. Plus, and this is a big part, plus always have to consider what you're willing to go through. Because I can't tell you how many times people come to my office and they say, you know, I went to Dr. So-and-so and they said that I absolutely have to have this procedure. And if I don't get that procedure, you know, kick my butt out onto the street, get out of here. I'm never going to talk to you. And that to me is absolute insanity, because think about it. No one's going to die if they don't get plastic surgery. Right.
Right.
I think I'm an important guy, but the reality is, if someone walks out of my office, they're fine. I'm not a cancer doctor. I'm not a heart surgeon, whatever. So the most, you know, one of the critical factors in making decisions of what we're going to go through is, what are you willing to go through? What is acceptable to your life? What type of recovery are you willing to take? Yes. What can you afford? I mean, the reality is that matters. All of those details. Okay. So when you consider the physical and the realistic, the psychological, all that stuff, that's where you can get the answer of, all right, what's right for me? So with all of that background, let's go over these procedures. Tummy tuck. In the most traditional sense, a tummy tuck is when you make a low, long incision along the lower part of your abdomen. So horizontal incision, usually from about hip to hip, going down onto the pelvis. You make an incision around the belly button. You take that abdominal skin and fat and you literally lift it up off of the muscles of your abdomen. You dissect all the way up to the rib cage. And when you do that, then you see, again, those two vertical six-pack muscles. And from there, you get to work. So you can first pull those six-pack muscles together to tighten the abdomen. You flatten it. You bring in the waist. And then you take all that extra skin, you pull it down, you cut out the extra skin, and you close the incision. Now, the belly button, super important detail here, the belly button is always attached to your muscles. So you always keep your belly button, but because you've pulled down the skin, now you have to pop the belly button out into a new position on the skin, right? So that is a full tummy tuck. Three things. Number one, tighten your muscles. Number two, remove excess skin. Number three, reposition the belly button. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there are other procedures too. There is a mini tummy tuck where basically in my opinion, a mini tummy tuck is anything that is less than those three things. Usually, a mini tummy tuck is just a removal of the lower abdominal skin. So you take that lower abdominal skin, you pull it down, and you cut out what's extra. Now, what that means is it does not tighten your abdominal muscles.
Okay.
It does not reposition the belly button. So that means you have to meet certain criteria, right? You want to make sure that it's someone who doesn't really have a very bad rectus diastasis. Yeah. And also it means that it's someone who, you know, there's not a lot of loose upper abdominal skin, so that all you got to worry about is that lower abdominal skin. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute, because then you start talking about other adjuncts, other different types of things that you do on top of it. So that's a mini tummy tuck.
Okay.
Then there is, you ask the question, great one, what is a paniculectomy?
Yeah, I didn't know how to say it. Like, I wrote this down, let me ask him.
So technically, a paniculectomy, oh, by the way, mini tummy tuck does not mean mini incision. Okay. A mini tummy tuck simply means you remove lower abdominal skin. Now, what that means is your incision can be whatever you want. And usually the longer your incision is, that means you can pull out more loose skin.
Okay.
So that goes back to, what do you want? Some people are willing to accept the full lower abdominal incision to just maximize how much lower skin they get out. Some people say, you know what? No, I don't want that. Or I have a little C-section scar, so just do what you can through that, or maybe extend it a little bit, or maybe extend it more, or maybe more, you know?
Yeah.
So you, again, you dial in what you want. Okay. Now, a paniculectomy is traditionally a procedure done in patients who've lost a lot of weight, usually through weight loss surgery, like a gastric sleeve, gastric bypass, whatever.
Got it.
They have that classic hanging loose abdominal skin that goes onto their pubic area, can cause infections, can cause problems. And usually this is something that can, or theoretically can, be covered by your insurance, because it is truly treating a medical condition. That medical condition is the skin that is creating these problems. And all it is, and it is by definition, just a removal of that lower abdominal skin.
I see.
Again, without touching the muscles or belly button.
I see.
So it gets to a tricky, interesting area where, when you're dealing with insurance, sometimes then people will say, okay, I'm going to have the insurance pay for the paniculectomy. And literally there are portions of the operation that they're doing, the muscle repair or the belly button repair, that is, they start a stopwatch.
Yep, they do. That happened to me.
There you go.
Hernia's out. Boom. Right. There we go.
Your insurance will not cover those other parts, but it will cover. It's a little tricky. It's a little creative.
Yeah.
And it is something that you need to speak with your surgeon about the logistics of.
Yeah.
Again, because in my practice, I truly believe that it's my responsibility to prevent surprises. And that means surprises in terms of your results, but certainly it also means surprises in terms of bills from your insurance company.
Yeah, okay? 100%.
So, you know, so those are the major, skin excision types of procedures. Then we got to consider some other things. We have to consider liposuction because, as I said, there are layers. One of those layers is the fat that is underneath your skin, but above your abdomen. And, you know, the traditional way of dealing with fat in the context of a tummy tuck was they would say, oh my God, you can't do lipo and a tummy tuck at the same time. That was a very old school thought. And so, you know, what we used to do was do a full body lipo, okay, get rid of the fat, and then make people's skin hang down even more, wait for 3 months while, you know, and then go for a tummy tuck. I mean, it was a mess.
Wow.
It was so long. It was so difficult. And actually, you know, you'd come back and because of the lipo, there'd be all the scar tissue. It was terrible.
Right.
Now that is not the case. Yeah. And now it is totally accepted that liposuction, in my eyes, is an integral part of every tummy tuck. Believe it or not, I even do it in women who are very, very slender, don't have a lot of fat, because it actually helps me more safely mobilize or move that abdominal skin so I get a better result. But lipo is critical in most tummy tucks because most patients have a good amount of fat or have a decent amount of fat underneath their skin. And to do a tummy tuck where you don't get rid of that fat underneath the skin, I mean, they just still look really big.
Right.
And you can't shape them or anything like that, which leads to a question that you also asked, which I love, is what is high def lipo?
Yes, that was going to be, yeah.
So liposuction, again, these are all things that we learn and these are all mistakes that we all made. Traditional lipo, you would just go in there and you'd suck everything out. Mm-hmm. And we started to see these people just don't look normal. They look weird. You see people with old school lipo and they just look, they don't look strange. Anatomic, right?
Yeah.
So now with high definition liposuction, I always look, it's a great marketing term, but the reality is, it is something where you go and you accentuate the normal anatomy of a person's body. So you really build in these vertical athletic lines. You build in the borders of the rectus abdominals, right, the muscles, those six-pack muscles. Now, some people really take it overboard and they literally etch out muscles and stuff.
Like eight-pack
abs. And you have to remember, exactly, when you see that, you're not seeing muscle. All you're seeing is fat, like
fat packs
carved out. They're literal like muffins of fat
that are left there.
Okay. So that's why something you got to take with a grain of salt. And it's also something I always say this, look, we're in the world of social media. We're in the world of looking at things on a little phone like this, where your picture is this big. So in order to see something on your phone, it's got to be a really dramatic result, may look good in a picture. But when you look at some of these in person, they look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or their arms like don't match, or like it's just like you have this eight pack and like literally
exactly.
Without, 100%.
Exactly. So again, lipo, critical component of all of this body contouring stuff, but it's something that needs to be done in an intelligent way. Finally, the other tool that we have that I am a huge fan of is Renuvion. Renuvion is, I love it. So it is a skin tightening technology. Yeah. And, you know, loose skin is sort of the big problem of all body contouring surgery, where, you know, you do lipo. And what happens? Lipo, originally, all that fat's holding the skin out. Well, when you get rid of the fat, what happens to the skin? It drops. It's loose. So what do? Well, again, traditionally to manage loose skin, you cut it out. But sometimes you don't want to do that. Or sometimes you don't have a lot of loose skin. So you can use a non-invasive technology like Renuvion that is not as good as a big skin excision, but it's pretty good. And it makes for a nice skin tightening result. Now, I usually use all of the techniques that we've talked about. So even when I do a full tummy tuck, okay, I will do lipo all the way around, or lipo 360 around the torso, because, you know, if someone's got fat in the front, they've got fat in the back, they've got fat, you know, up above. And if someone has loose skin in the front of their abdomen, well, guess what? They're going to have loose skin in their back. So that's where technology like Renuvion can be super helpful, where, you know, it helps you prevent getting that muffin top look where, you know, you may have sucked out all the fat, but then you have skin folding over your waistline or your bra line. So it's a great technology. Or another favorite procedure of mine, and actually I'll give you a plug in a minute. I do what's called the tummy tight procedure, my own name.
I love it.
Thank you. Where for a properly selected patient, I'll do a mini tummy tuck. Okay. And that will manage the loose skin in the lower abdomen. But then remember, I said, if you do a mini tummy tuck, you shouldn't have a lot of upper abdominal loose skin. Well, if they have a little bit of upper abdominal loose skin that's not managed by the tummy tuck, then you do Renuvion to manage the upper part of the abdomen. And that will sort of hit both sides with some type of skin tightening effect. I actually did, and I do think this, I was very proud of this. I went over all of this stuff also on my Instagram highlights.
Yes.
I have a highlight that I wrote that I call Tummy Tight. So it goes over all of these different procedures. So if you're listeners want to follow that. Take a look at that.
I listened to that and I saw, and he has actual examples, y'all, of like the results before and after. So definitely take a look if you're looking to see like what these actually look like in practice. I love that highlight reel. Quick specific like question on Renuvion. So is that, does that require an incision? Is like,
so Renuvion is done with lipo. Okay. The way it works is, you know, lipo, you have to make a couple of tiny little incisions throughout the torso, you know, to literally like a little, it heals like a freckle. You do, you know, you put the thin little metal tube underneath there. It will suck out the fat. And then it creates a space underneath your skin.
Right.
And through that, through the same tiny little incisions, you will then put in the Renuvion device, which is, again, a thin metal tube goes underneath your skin and it does its work. So, you know, essentially it's non-invasive in the sense that you don't need a big, big skin incision.
Okay.
It works the same way. Listen, you know, one other thing that I think is really important to talk about in teaching your listeners about the realities of plastic surgery is different names, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Different names of the exact same procedures. You have to remember that plastic surgery is really the main sort of marketing-driven realm of medicine. And I think that's good. It's fine, but people can get a little shady sometimes. So very often the same procedure will be given different names. Like I just said, tummy tight, right? Because it's a cute name, but really what is tummy tight? It's just a mini tummy tuck with Renuvion in the upper abdomen. More nefarious than that, sometimes you're going to have people who literally will say a procedure and they market it as something completely simple and non-invasive, but it's still a procedure. Mm. Liposuction is the number one thing where people will give names to this procedure to kind of fool you into thinking it's something else, okay? There are procedures like, you know, AirSculpt is one of them.
Okay, yeah, someone reached out about that. Yeah, okay.
AirSculpt is just liposuction. It is awake liposuction, which is great. It's something I do all the time. And I'll tell you, I used to work at the company that does that. I was one of the first people there and helped them develop it. But it's liposuction. Other, you know, Sonobello does that. All of these bigger companies, look, they are lipo. And I say that not to say, you know, there's necessarily something wrong with them. And obviously I do a better job, you know, that's fine. But but what I do think is a little, again, sort of unethical. Sometimes they push it in a way that people literally, I used to remember, people would show up for the day of their procedures and suddenly be like, whoa, hold on, what? This is lipo? Yeah,
right.
You know, they literally don't know that. And that is wrong.
Yes.
You know, again, you have to know what you're getting into.
100%.
Now, and these marketing companies will push these things saying, oh, it's non-invasive, no recovery, no this, no that. And that's also kind of BS. Now, I think in a more modern setting, you can do, and I pride myself on doing procedures with the best possible recovery.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can do it with a relatively easy recovery. It's not like the bad old days, or at least in my hands, where you're out of commission for 2, 4, 6 weeks. But again, it's a procedure.
Yeah.
And you need to know that. And you need to own it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's so interesting you say that, because I had so many. Like, so when I was originally trying to do this podcast of just like my experience, I was trying to find another creator who I know had a tummy tuck to talk about it. And they were very much like, I don't want to call it that. I don't want to own it. I don't want to say it. Or let's call it diastasis recti surgery, which I think I don't know if you can do the diastasis recti without removing the skin. I guess you could, but that would
be
silly.
There are a couple of ways of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, it is something for the literal perfect patient where they have a relatively small diastasis and they have like zero loose skin.
Which is
you
wild.
That almost never happens. You can do just a diastasis repair, either through a small incision in the lower abdomen, which makes it really tricky. Or interestingly, you can do it robotically, going through inside the abdomen and do it. But you know, when they do that, it ends up usually causing bunching of the skin and it kind of gives them sometimes this weird sausage in the middle of their abdomen.
Wow.
That's not super attractive either.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah. But I think that's all going to say that understanding what you're getting into and like, and understanding what you have and what you're willing to go through, like you named like in the beginning of this, is like key, because really we're paying for your time. Like the cost and investment of this a lot of times is like how long is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like the anesthesiologist is a cost, and the amount of time it's going to take you to do the procedure.
Absolutely.
That's what whatever like stacks up the dough. So I understand why, I guess there's some wake lipo, which is called, which I didn't even know that was a thing, called whatever you said, that reduces costs in some way. But yes, this is an investment. And I know you can't necessarily say what the cost would be without seeing the person, understanding. But like if someone was looking to do a is there a tummy tuck range of like
honestly pretty crazy, because of course throughout the country and really throughout the world that even complicates things more when we can talk about international surgery.
Oh my gosh.
This is the whole thing.
So
one more thing, and I'll give you numbers that I know, but you know, you'll get a number for a tummy tuck, but remember that also people will do liposuction that can add extra. People will do a mommy makeover with the breasts and this and that. So, you know, what I've seen is for a pure tummy tuck, it usually can range from as low as I think about $8,000 to $9,000. And we're talking, that's like bargain basement, pretty scary places where usually they end up also nickel and diming you, because remember, it becomes apples and oranges. You made the beautiful point that anesthesia costs separate and everything. Usually in my office, I give them a full number for everything.
Right.
But, you know, some of these places will say, oh my God, it's like $8,000, $6,000. But then it's another $4,000 for anesthesia. It's another this, it's another that. So I think on the super low end, between $8,000 and $9,000, and on the high end, it, you know, with these procedures, especially when you're considering all the things you can do, a full mommy makeover in a very established and reputable office of someone who knows their stuff, it can easily crack $40,000 and even $50,000.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's also usually multiple procedures that are done. So I would say the average is going to range between 10 and 20 for just a straight tummy tuck,
right?
Considering other things. And listen, I want to talk about one other thing you said, just quick thing about the awake lipo thing. Again, I still do it a lot, and it is not just a cost saving thing, because remember, awake lipo sometimes takes longer. You got to be a little more gentle. You got to take your time and everything. So from a time standpoint, it goes up. But I do think there are benefits in terms of its recovery where, you know, you're awake, so people have to be a little more gentle with you, can't beat you up. Sometimes some people are a little more sensitive to anesthesia, and they are a little more sensitive to that. So the recovery can be longer for them. But also this gets into a whole nother interesting discussion of history and why people do it. Liposuction used to be done, it actually was invented by dermatologists. Then they were doing it and it was really difficult. The science wasn't good. People are having a tough time. So kind of plastic surgeons took over and they said, we're going to do it under anesthesia. We're going to do it safely and everything like that. Okay. And they did it and did it well. And then the rest of the world started saying, well, hey, lipo is looking awesome. Yeah. Let's do this. But I'm not a real surgeon, so I can't take people back to the operating room. So I'm going to do it awake, and I'm going to learn how to do it awake in a safe and effective fashion, but I'm still not a plastic surgeon.
Wow.
So they do that. And a lot of these awake places, especially a few years ago, are being done by people who are not real plastic surgeons. So look into that. And we're going to talk about that when you're talking about finding your right person. But the beauty is now, at least in my practice, I am definitely a real plastic surgeon. I do things beautifully and safely, but I give people that option of awake versus asleep. And we have a full discussion about what is right for you. Is awake better for you? Is asleep better for you? And I go through all of those details. So we give them that thing. And, you know, it complicates things because these big companies want a single product. You know, they want that one trick pony. They don't want to confuse people with a million different ways. But I want to give people the best option. I don't really care about being a marketing giant.
Yeah. I love that. I love that about you. And I think, like, again, like going back to like knowing A, like understanding what your results, like what you want to have happen and like what you're willing to go through. Like, I'm assuming that at Wake Lipo, you probably, maybe I'm wrong, can't be as aggressive as
anyone. I am more aggressive than anyone.
I'd be so scared.
Massive amounts of really? Fat. I have created beautiful results
with Wake Lipo. Okay.
Absolutely. I do mini tummy tucks awake. I do arm lifts awake. I do
fat
transfers awake, BBLs, breasts, everything.
Wow. I didn't even know that was like a thing that would be possible. But then again, you were the best of the best.
No, I mean, look, it is. And I do feel that, again, there is a degree of artistry and technical savvy in that, because in order to be really aggressive, you have to be really effective. Most, I'd say, you know, the traditional thought of being aggressive means just going in there and going for it.
Yeah.
But when someone is awake, you have to add one extra layer of sophistication by not beating the crap out of their rib cage or their muscles, and knowing how to get the fat, but still, you know, easing them through the procedure. So I do think that's a bit of a myth.
I literally just learned something. Thank you all for listening. That was part one of my conversation with Dr. Dabe on all things tummy tucks. Join us next week where we get more into recovery and how you find a doctor and all the things with healing that you are definitely not going to want to miss, especially if you're a mom who's looking to think about, when the heck am I going to be able to lift my kids again, for instance? But if you like what you heard, please leave us a review. The 5-star reviews mean so much to me and the team to help us keep going, y'all. You can also follow us along on Instagram at That Twin Mama Podcast, where that week I will be posting before and afters of me before surgery and after, and how my scar healed and other things like that. And also, if you're a visual person and want to see some of these videos, please subscribe to my YouTube channel at That Twin Mama. But yes, this has been another episode, and I will see y'all next week.
Peace.